You're listening to Big Tom and Roach, a different type of morning show, only on the Giggles Live Radio Network.
I just kept hearing it. I'm ducking and everything. God, in the house, I'm like, I scared. I dropped my hot pocket.
You're listening to the Giggles Live Radio Network.
I wouldn't be so hostile if you had 1 ounce of talent.
Sit around and cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
You're listening to the Giggles Live Radio Network.
Good morning, folks. It's a nice day in California.
Here's Big Tom and Roach.
You're listening to the Giggles Live Radio Network.
We are live for the first time in a long time here from the Giggles Ranch on a Monday morning. We did get off to a little bit of a late start to no fault of our own, other than I could have left a little earlier. And, but other than that, it was no fault of our own. There was a bunch of looky-loos that were looking at two cars that were pulled over with a tow truck. I don't even dare call it a fender bender. It didn't look like anything happened.
Oh, man. It was a girl that ran out of gas, and her dad came looking for her. And he's like, it's okay, dear. Let's just call a tow truck.
It might have been.
He's just waiting for it with her.
Yeah. I want to do that. I mean, I don't want my daughter to run out of gas, but I want to be that dad.
Yeah. My parents were those parents.
Yeah.
I called them first because I never knew what to do.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do. Get out your AAA car. That's why we have it. Get it out.
Get your knife. Flip it to open. I don't know why all of a sudden I'm putting you into this weird category. We had an outstanding, fun weekend.
We did.
I think Saturday night was, or Friday night, Saturday night was one of them. Yeah. That was a lot of fun.
We did a private show, you guys. It was all good.
It was. Yeah, we had a couple of, we had a couple of things to navigate to pull it off, but ultimately.
And it was totally navigatable.
Yeah. It was so fun.
Yeah.
I really had fun. I was really.
I could tell because you stayed. Yeah, after you were done, and I was like, whoa, he's staying. That's so cool.
Yeah, I don't stay. That's the funny thing.
Yeah,
I
you don't. You kind of like after I'm like, hey, do you have any notes for where'd he go?
I went out to the car twice, and then you run out. Are you leaving? And I'm like, no, I'm not leaving. I don't even know that you knew I was still there.
I didn't even know you knew I was there.
It was so fun, though. A lot of good friends, new and old, and just great, just good times.
Yeah, it was a.
And you were so funny, Rochelle.
Get out!
No, you were in an element, or was watching you, and I was like, okay, man, this I could totally see. Like,
you saw some stuff that you didn't know I'd done before, that I kind of pulled out of my rabbit hat.
Well, I think ideas,
because they're definitely not ready, but they're definitely ideas that I've had.
Well, it wasn't really about your material. I think it was a comfort level.
Oh.
Like you had a comfort level where you were like, and you know, you kind of, you're like, I'll MC, which is not something that most people volunteer to do, but you know, you have the attitude like I do that you want to get stronger.
Well, it was one of my best friend's parties, so yeah. I kind of felt like, you know what, I'll do it. And I felt bad because there was a man, he told me he was the gas man, and then they're like, no, his name is, oh gosh, I forgot. I think it's Dave, and he has like a nickname that goes with it.
Okay.
But it was like a lightning bolt Dave. I don't know. But anyways, the guy's a musician, and he wanted to MC, and I was like.
Oh, right.
Yeah, and then I was like, no, I'll do it. Like, it's my girlfriend's party. And he's like, well, let me introduce you so it looks professional. And I was like, okay, you can get on the mic.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Come to find out the guy's got like a Grammy or something, wasn't it?
I don't know.
Got like some awards or something.
I don't know. I'll tell you what he didn't have. A karaoke machine.
I bet you're going to say energy. Because you know,
I loved his energy.
Well, you know why he left the karaoke machine? He'd been on the road for like, I think he'd been on the road for like a really long time,
yeah.
And came in kind of to do this like for a friend kind of thing.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And he just said, "Man, I'm leaving my stuff. I'm tired." And he left.
He seemed tired.
He wanted to go to sleep, but he looked so happy. Once we got it to where it was going for a little bit, like it was going for about four or five songs. And then once he left, we couldn't figure out how to get the words back up again.
Oh.
But while it was going, he was sitting there with his little dog, and he just looked so happy.
Yeah.
He just looked so comfortable. And it was just like, I was like, all right, this dude,
yeah,
he loves being here.
Yeah, he does. I think he loves that family a lot, too.
Yeah.
It was good times. I think my comfort level was also, and that's where I have to be no matter where I am, is that I knew a lot of those people.
Yeah, I didn't realize that till after the show.
Yeah, I knew like half of them, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And there were some people that I didn't know that were just kind of, I get that look from, it's usually like new women, which is like the mouth open and the nose cringed. Like, who is this?
Right.
Who is this? She's talking about her dogs.
She's got a giant floppy hat and I can't see her eyes.
Yeah. Was it floppy? It was just a little big.
No, it wasn't floppy. It was just big, yeah.
Here's why I wore the hat. My hair was dirty.
You wanted to keep the aroma within the contained space.
No, so the bottom half still looked good. Right, but the top half was like looking dirty. I don't know if it smelled bad, but definitely had too much product in it.
Here's the thing. I've been using that method of hair cleaning / non-cleaning for many years.
You know what people think when you always wear a hat? They think you don't have hair.
I know, right?
So girls that are like getting to know you and like, let's say you see them at the gym and you always have a hat on, they're like, oh, he's hiding something under there, and I think I know what it is. And if he can't be honest with me from the top.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, I'm hiding.
I don't know if I could date somebody like that.
I'm hiding way darker things than than a bald head.
Funny enough, I've actually always liked a nice bald head or a receding hairline.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Like the Mr. Spacely got you going when you were a kid? Is that what you're telling me?
I don't know. I just never mind. I've never minded it. I dated a couple guys that had a receding hairline.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Interesting. But it's not like something that you look for. It's just
no,
not
it's
that,
just, okay. It's not something that puts, it's not off-putting. Like maybe, you know, guys have certain types. Sometimes a guy likes a fit girl and sometimes a guy likes a girl he can hold on to at night. In chunks.
Don't have to worry about getting cold.
I don't mind. I do like a hairy man, though. Like a hairy man for me says man.
Yeah.
You know, like the hair on the body for me tells me like you're a man.
So you want Spacely on the top, Bigfoot on the bottom?
Hell yeah. You know it.
I hope the captain's listening this morning going, what? What, huh? What'd you dream about last night?
I don't remember. I don't know if I did dream. I have to wake up I'm waking up every 3 hours now instead of two. I've reset my alarm.
Yeah. Is it now with more puppies, is it more work?
It is a little bit because I have to, you know, I have to keep more record and I have to, yeah. It's a little more work. It's kind of still the same thing. It's just, you know, like I have to make sure. Yeah, it's a little more work. I don't think that this is the first time this dog's had a litter. So she gets what she has to do. She's just like, I'm going to just let you tell me what to do. Like, I know there's eight of them and I only have four nipples on this side. So I know only four of them are going to eat. So if you want the rest of them to eat, you better find a way to put them on.
I'm going to let you handle that.
Yeah. She's like, she just lies there and she's like, and then she'll like, just take a nap.
She's like me. She lets you handle her calendar.
Yeah. And she's just like, girl, What the heck? Take some notes from the other bitch over there. She freaking takes it all on. She's like, yeah, my babies. These are my babies. Oh, ooh, are you pooping? Let me get that for you. Oh, you're so cute.
That's so funny.
This one's like, oh, you're pooping. Let me smell. Oh, yeah, I'm not into that. Yeah. Like, they're not, she's not as motherly as the other one is. So I have to kind of pick up the slack a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
you know.
And that stinks at the one with the bunch of them, because then you got to keep track of them all.
Yeah. Well, and it's starting to get messy because they get bigger, and the bigger they get, the bigger everything.
Yeah. Gets. Yeah. Appetite and the what stuff going out.
Yeah. So once they get to start walking by the end of this week, they should be good because they can get her while she's standing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
And then it's survival of the fittest.
It seems just it's like a lot of tracking. Like you got to make sure.
Oh, I have a clipboard and everything.
Nice.
Yeah. I weigh them 3 times a day.
Oh, wow.
I have an electric aspirator that sucks out like any leftover milk or anything that may have gotten in their nose or like not swallowed in their mouth.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, this is boring.
I don't think it's boring. I'm fascinated. Why? Why do you think it's boring?
It's like a NICU in my family room.
Yeah.
I got an incubator in there. I got an oxygen machine. I got IVs just in case anything happens.
Yeah, they're very well cared for. Very, very well cared for. No question
Definitely
about it.
Definitely learn more every time. And I just keep adding. Like I got this great crate. I should show it to you before you go. It's a house.
Mm-hmm.
And the roof comes off like on a hinge.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like it's as big as a crib.
Oh,
so
wow.
It looks like my baby's in a crib.
That's
my
cute.
Girl.
My other
little girl's in there and she loves it. She loves being in there.
That's awesome.
She's in her crib. In the kitchen. And my husband says you had to get the castle. You had to get the most expensive crate. He's like, what the heck? I'm like, isn't it beautiful? He's like, yeah, man, but why did you have... And I said, by the way, it wasn't the most expensive crate. By the way, everyone, it was not.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I went, I have to get this one.
Yeah. Plus there's 8.
Yeah, well, that's not for them.
Oh,
I mean, eventually it will be, but right now I have my other girl in it. And she's enjoying it.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
She loves it.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's amazing. So much work, though. I don't think I could do that.
Well, I know. I mean, my husband's like, let's get another one. And I'm just like, I don't. This is a hobby. Like, I love the breed, and I love what I'm doing. I can't imagine this being my job all the time.
Right, right.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, not even every 3 months. Like...
And you do it with love and like you
yeah,
do it,
like I really care about what I'm doing.
Yeah, and if you start putting to where you're overloading yourself, then it becomes something that you don't want to do. You feel more obligated to
it. I said to him, let's just focus on my acting and my comedy career to make us more money, okay?
Yeah.
Let's just focus on that.
Yeah, while the cash pours in from this business, right?
Oh my gosh. Crossing fingers.
Well, there's a lot of exciting stuff coming up. Did you check your emails last night or this morning?
No, what happened?
I sent you an ad for the big show coming up.
Oh, I saw that you added more people to the show. That's what I saw on Instagram.
I'm not talking about that. I was talking about Laughter Heels.
Oh, yeah. We got a big show next
week. Listen to this, and then we'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Join us in Agora Hills on Thursday, March 24th for Laughter Heels Presents Comedy at the Canyon Club. Mark Eddy, the rock and roll comic, headlines a great lineup of comedians. Doors open at 6, shows at 7:30. It's all for a great cause. And remember, nurses get in for free. Go to wheremusicmeetsthesoul.com for tickets. And for more information on how Laughter Heals, visit laughterheals.org.
See that funky beat.
There you go. See?
There's one thing missing.
What is it?
Well, there's not. It's missing, but it's not. Like, it still works. We have a local band that's going to be playing at 6:30. That's, they're kind of a big deal in the area.
Oh, how was I supposed to know that?
You didn't. That's what I'm saying. There's one thing missing. So I'll just put it in the verbiage.
Ah.
I'll type it in. But it's a garage band of dads, but they're really good. Like, they play at all the cool local spots. And
what's the band's name?
The band's name is Whiskey Kick.
Whiskey Kick.
Yeah, and you can find them on your social media.
So Whiskey Kick is going to kick off the evening.
Yeah, at 6:30 they're going to start playing, and it's kind of exciting because that's a new element that we haven't tried doing, and it's a perfect night to do it because Mark Eddy, his comedy is also about, he puts music into it, like a little bit of music history. And
I believe he, just like Craig, knows a lot of rock and roll people, like a lot of musicians. And
yeah,
I think he's in those circles a little bit too. Yeah,
So Craig Shoemaker, if you guys don't know, he's my mentor, and I've got a little bit of a partnership with him right now. But the thing is the dude is like, he knows a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Did I tell you about the Kenny Loggins story?
Yeah, when you went in and were like starstruck by some dude that ended up being the janitor.
It wasn't even Kenny Loggins. It wasn't him.
The dude's like, can I take a picture with you? And he's like, yeah,
I guess. I just was trying to be all cool. So when the celebrities come in, or when I meet one, whether it's there or anywhere else, right? I kind of just kind of act cool, but not make them feel like either weird or, at the end of the day, like, they just poop like everyone else. Like, just like you and me. It's just another person, right?
I'm pretty sure Maria Menounos doesn't poop.
I don't.
I don't expect you to know who she is.
Anyway, so Craig's assistant, Michelle, told me, oh, you came on a good day. Kenny Loggins might come in. And I said, oh, cool. And this guy came in with a guitar who, you know, could have looked like him, did look like not like him, but was like, oh, maybe they put makeup on him and stuff for his Instagram. And right?
Did you say he didn't not look like him? I'm pretty sure that's Kenny Loggins, because he doesn't not look like Kenny Loggins.
He rolled up in a Corolla, or not a Corolla, a Camry. And I was like, oh my gosh, that's so humble. Like, he doesn't drive like a Lamborghini Countach. Like, he just rolls up in his white, you know, Camry.
Oh, sweet. He's carrying a sack lunch.
And he comes out with this guitar. And I was like, oh, it's not even in a case. The guy's so down to earth, right? Comes in, goes and he does a podcast with Craig. And I didn't ask to take a picture with him. I was like, well, good to meet you.
I wish you would have.
And
this story would be so much better if you would have taken pictures
with
him.
But it gets worse. So then I pick up my son, who's a musician. He plays the guitar, the bass. He's a big drummer. And I said, so guess who was in the office today? I go, not like you would know, right? Is what I said to him, because he's 15. Right. And I said, Kenny Loggins. And he goes, what? And I said, yeah, I said, do you know who that is? He's like, yeah, Danger Zone. And then, like, he starts naming, like, more songs that he's sung, and songs that I had to actually look up, because I was like, I don't really know, you know, everything that he's written and done. And then I was surprised that he knew my son. And he says, can we go back? I want to meet him. And I said, no, we got to go. So I came home, and I went to Kenny Loggins' Instagram messenger.
And oh,
I
no.
Wrote him a message, and it's like, it said,
dear Kenny, I enjoyed our time on the couch together.
Yeah, totally. It was like, hey, Kenny, it's Rochelle from Craig's office. Hope you're well. My son was so disappointed that I didn't, you know, I told him you were in the office. He wanted to go back and meet you. I was wondering if you could follow his page on Instagram. It would, like, be awesome if you could do that. And I, like you know, I pasted his Instagram page, Asher's Instagram page. And then Craig had shot me a text, and then I replied, oh, by the way, my son was so bummed out he didn't get to meet Kenny today. And he wrote back, Kenny who?
Kenny who?
And I went, oh, shiest.
Kenny who? That was Steve, my air conditioning guy.
Yeah. And then I texted Michelle and I said, please tell me that was Kenny Loggins who was in the office today.
Well, at least the guy was a nice guy, whether he was Kenny Loggins or not is a moot point.
Gosh, it was like when Craig found out all of this, he was laughing and he was also mortified all at the same time. He's like, oh no, no, you didn't. No, you didn't. Oh no, oh no. He's like, this is so embarrassing. Anyway, Kenny Loggins came in a couple weeks ago, like actually came in and, I found out about it and they're like, are you coming in? And then I thought like, oh, I want to, but it was like one of the nights that I was doing a Canyon show. And so I was like, no, I need to like make sure everything's ready to go.
Right.
And so I totally missed out, but now he knows who I am because they had a good laugh about it.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, who knows? Maybe he'll come out to Laughter Hill so he can hang out with you while the show's going on.
Yeah. I'm that lady. I'm his pseudo stalker.
Hey, Kenny. It was great hanging out on the couch with you, watching you play with your guitar today.
Yeah. They were like telling me, like, they thought you came in a Honda. And I was like, not a Honda Corolla, a Toyota. Get the story right.
That's so amazing.
I heard about, and Caroline Ray was there. And then that week, I had a show with Craig and Caroline. They took me with them and he's telling her, he's like, this is the girl that wrote Kenny Loggins. And she's like, oh, stop.
That's awesome. So they teased you had two comedy legends like teasing you relentlessly in the car.
I'm such a nerd.
That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's me though. Like, what can I tell you?
This is so amazing. You should be a PR person.
No. Well, just listen to what I'm doing now since I'm helping Craig out with the Canyon. Mm-hmm. I'm printing out people's headshots with their blurbs next to them so I know, just like PR people do.
Yeah.
So I can recognize them and go, okay.
Oh, that's smart. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm starting like a little book that has, it's like an album with their bios and their pictures next to it because I don't want to do that for real. That's especially if somebody's a well-known comedian and I mix, you know, like Frangiola. I don't want to mix it up and call him Frangilli.
Yeah. Or Fajita. You don't want to call him Frito-Lay.
I don't even know if I said his name wrong. It's Frangella.
It doesn't
now,
matter.
Now, see,
he doesn't listen. It doesn't matter.
I don't think he listens.
He's way too, if he's too good to play the Canyon Club, he's definitely too good to listen to Big Tom.
He's not
Roach.
Too. Listen, I tell you what, if any of you were there that night, any of the 10 of you that were there, I took everything he actually said to heart.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? He's not wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't like he wasn't on the stage. I could take it, right? Like on the stage, I was like, okay, totally deserve everything he's saying. And right. But then like afterwards, I was like, hey man, it's not my fault.
Yeah. It could have been just like in a lot of situations could have been handled in a better, classier way.
And you know what? I don't really hold it against, like, I don't hold it against him. It's not like I don't like the guy. I don't even know him. It was just, maybe he was just having a tough day.
Yeah.
Right?
Might have been. Maybe he got stuck in traffic on the 101 because two people were sitting with a tow truck not moving.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I gather he's a fine guy.
Yeah, we love the guy. We're big, big fans.
Yes.
We'll continue to be big fans all through the...
By the way, if you're listening, I did strike those ficus trees. You are absolutely right about those. No ficus trees on the stage. In fact, someone said, we're going to get the ficus trees back on the stage. And I said, no, 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 no. We don't want the ficus trees on the stage.
Somebody said that? That's awesome. I love it.
I said, nope. So we're going to keep it clean. Keep it simple.
Let's go take a quick break and we'll come back in just a couple minutes. What do you think?
I love it.
We haven't had a break in weeks. I don't know what I mean by that.
You're listening to Big Tom and Roach. a different type of morning show, only on the Giggles Live Radio Network.
I just kept hearing it. I'm ducking and everything. God, in the house, I stayed. I dropped my hot pocket.
You are listening to the Giggles Live Radio Network.
I wouldn't be so hostile if you had 1 ounce of talent.
Sit around and cook some soups and eat bread and desserts and just get all fat and sassy.
You are listening to the Giggles Live Radio Network.
Good morning, folks. It's a nice day in California.
Here's Big Tom and Roach.
You are listening to the Giggles Live Radio Network.
And we're back, and we're so happy. We're just saying it off air. We're happy to be back alive after taking a week off. Tommy and Maddie had minimum days, so I spent a lot of time with them, like, all week.
Oh,
so,
good.
Yeah.
So that's awesome.
Nice. Yeah. We did one day was like a daddy son day, and one day was like a daddy daughter day.
Fun.
Yeah, except I ruined Daddy Sunday, which I usually don't, but I asked him about something that completely stressed him out. I gave him an option of something that would have been fun. The arena up in Sacramento, Arco Arena, where I used to, I had season tickets for the NBA Sacramento Kings for years, and I went to a lot of games in that barn. They never won a championship, so it doesn't really have my heart the way like Candlestick Park does and yeah. some of that, but they're basically having a farewell thing for that, you know, for the arena next weekend. And my brother called me and told me he had extra tickets if I wanted to try to make my way up there. And I kind of thought, you know, it might be kind of cool to go say goodbye to the barn, because the last time I left there, I didn't realize that it was the last time I was going to mm-hmm. leave. I was just kind of becoming, the way basketball is structured is so that the big city teams will win. They'll like always win.
Okay.
And the more I started to realize it, the more I started to realize that our team, while it was selling out and it was exciting because they made it, you know, they were really loud and all that stuff, they weren't going to win a championship. And it's just really hard to like support something that's just not viable. It sounds weird, but it did.
Yeah.
And it was almost like figuring out that the Washington Generals were going to lose to the Globetrotters every single night, no matter what. And then it makes it just tough,
right?
You know, especially when you were rooting for the Generals. So I considered going up there because they're doing like, I'm assuming that they're going to be selling off a bunch of the old, you know, memorabilia, like the seats and some of that. And I wouldn't mind buying some of that from, you know, when it's first released or what. Yeah. It might be kind of cool. You know me. I have a bunch of stadium seats and stuff like that. And so I talked to Tom and I was like, hey, Daddy's thinking about going up. Would you want to go? And I just sent him into this stress of we went over everything. We went over the, well, Dad, I'm afraid if I don't go, then you won't go. So now I want to go just because I want to make sure you go.
Aww.
But it's a drive to Sacramento.
Yeah.
And it's a turn and burn because we would have basically I have a show Friday night with Laughstream because it would be this Saturday.
Okay.
It would be this Saturday at 2 p.m. in Sacramento. So I have a Friday show at Laughstream. Me and Tommy would have to figure out a way to get from Santa Paula to Sacramento by 2 p.m. after my show ends the night before. Sacramento's about a 6-hour drive.
Yeah. So right? You'd have to leave like super duper early.
Super early, which as you know is very difficult to do the day after a show anyway.
Yeah.
And then to stay focused on the road for 6 hours with my son who doesn't really want to do it anyways.
Yeah.
So we ended up talking about all this stuff, but it ended up kind of like adding a little stress to him on that day, and he's like me, he overthinks and gets anxiety and all that. So it ended up being fine though. He was okay by the end of the day. Cause I just told him.
So are you going to do it?
No.
Yeah. It sounds like it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Sorry.
Yeah. Well, you know where it kind of came into clarity, honestly, because I really was kind of leaning in the direction of not doing it was when I was talking to my brother. I'm like, that's 2 tanks of gas going up.
Yeah.
That's $150 going up.
Yeah.
We have to get a hotel for one night. That's going to be $200. It's $500 just to go.
Did you by any chance find out how much the plane tickets were? $5?
No, just because I don't want to coordinate airport runs on both sides of it.
Yeah.
You know?
I get it.
I thought about the train, maybe. Are you looking up plane tickets?
No.
Oh.
I'm reading a...
Oh, you're on personal time right now. I didn't know it was your
break
time.
I'm working. I'm actually talking to one of your comedians that we're doing a show with for Project Understanding on the 30th.
Oh, really? Which one?
Lori.
Oh, okay.
Douglas.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just saw her on the poster, so that was exciting. A lot of hot chicks on that show. What the heck?
Yeah.
What's going on?
Including me, right?
Tom's getting it on like Donkey Kong. Tom will be bringing his harem of bitches to Lefty Live, Oxnard.
It's going to be an awesome show.
It's going to be a fun show. That's a good show.
It's a really good lineup.
That's a great lineup. Do me a favor.
What?
Don't add any more people.
I'm not adding any more people. I had to replace Jen Sturger. Jen Sturger took at least.
That's who was missing. Because yeah. I was trying to figure it out, and I said, I don't understand where, what, why. Okay. But either way, I love it. I'm good.
See, Jen does my shows a lot. And
yeah, I love Jen.
Sometimes I add her to a show without talking to her first and forget about it. And she'll text me and she's like, hey, dude, did we talk about this show?
Oh, my. Okay, we have a little bit of business to talk about after the show. Some notes for you.
But yeah, I think the show is a perfect.
Hilarious.
I think the show is a perfect size right now. I think it's good.
I think it just looks like hot. Like looks like you're advertising a car show.
Does it really? See, I think it's I look at it as like a good, funny show. I wasn't looking at it as who's hot, who's not hot.
No, yeah. Well, everybody's hot on the ticket. That's what I'm saying. I'm just kind of like, and a freaking hilarious. Forget about being hot, right? But
right.
But I think it's funny because, you know, you see those pamphlets often, and it's not yours, but I mean, just in general, and people are advertising comedy shows, and you're like, oh, cool. And like, not that the girls weren't hot that I did a comedy show a couple weeks ago, but it was my first all girl show.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all actually really cute and pretty, but the headshots on this one is like, damn, I don't care if they're funny. I just want to go look at some boobies.
I'm hoping that we don't draw that crowd. That's not what I'm going for by any stretch of the imagination.
No, really pretty girls. Really, really pretty girls. So I'm excited.
I think it's going to be an amazing
show. It's going to be a great show. Are you kidding me?
I hope everybody's not thinking like you, because then I'm going to feel really embarrassed.
No, listen, this is for charity. We do whatever it takes.
I'm going to be dressed in drag just to even things out.
That would be amazing.
Yeah, it would be amazing because it's not going to happen. That's how amazing that would be. That would be so amazing.
Oh, my God.
The owners of the Ventura Harbor Comedy Club, they have the drag queen shows pretty well. Now they have them like a couple times a week. But they were having those shows, and they both dressed up and took a picture once. And that image is just burned into my brain for the rest of my life. So there's no way I'm burning that image in anybody's brain.
No?
Yeah. No, I'm good.
I do have a Cher wig you could borrow.
You have a Cher wig? I wish I didn't know that.
I actually, my niece, she just turned 11, and she's my goddaughter also, and I just love her so much. And I didn't really, she's very creative. I mean, creative in very all sorts of ways.
Mm-hmm.
But she also, she's very, like, she's artistic. Like, she thinks really outside of the box. And she likes to dress up, and not like dress up like a girl dresses up, but like if she find, like, I don't know where she got like a hazmat suit.
Like, hazmat suit.
Yeah, like something, it's like some, like one of those, but it wasn't like the hazmat, it was like the face mask material.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where she got it, but she videotaped herself wearing that coming into a room, and she put it in slow motion, and she put some really bitchin' music to it. Mm-hmm. And it just looked really, my sister-in-law posted it online, and I thought, like, dude, that's like the angle, like this, like the way that the camera was set up, everything was just so perfect and hilarious all at the same time.
Wow.
That I was like, what do I get her? Like, she's so beyond, right? Like, what am I gonna get her? Some squishies? And, you know, like, what do I get this girl? And I thought, what would you have loved at her age? Mm-hmm. So I got her like three different kinds of wigs, and I sent them to her
on
her
nice.
Birthday. And my brother sent me a picture of her wearing it while she was eating her Top Ramen.
That's great.
It made me very happy, and I was like, yes, she likes it.
That is awesome.
I got her three different colors and three different cuts.
You can't go wrong with costuming with a creative child.
No.
Even Tommy always loved playing dress up for Star Wars characters. Loved it.
I did too. I loved dressing. So my grandmother and my mom, they kept a lot of their things from the 1960s and 70s. Number one, because it was either like brought from my uncle may have like gone to like Europe or something, and they would like, he would bring home like an outfit or a dress or a jacket as a gift. Mm-hmm. And so they kept it because they were kind of an extravagant gift, and we weren't super extravagant. Like, my parents both worked, and they worked very hard. So these kinds of gifts were like, and my grandmother loved fashion. So she kept a lot of really cool pieces. And so when I was about 11 and 12 and 13, I would dress up in her boots and her, you know, and I did the same thing. Like, I put on like, da-na-na-na, da-na, like that, whatever the Bee Gees thing is from the Friday, what is it?
Saturday Night Fever.
Saturday Night Fever, not Friday Night Fever.
You get the wrong night of the week.
I got the wrong night. And the wrong rhythm.
I'm pretty sure you nailed it with the da-na-na-na-na, da-na-na-na.
But it reminded me when I saw that video, it reminded me of me doing a video with my girlfriend, and we were dressing up, and we had the music blasting, and we were videoing each other walking into a room, like, all Bee Gees style.
Don't you miss those days where you just couldn't wait to grow up?
Yeah. I do a little bit, but that was frustrating, feeling like I just want to be an adult. I just want to do whatever I want.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I try to tell my kids when they've said that, like, I just want to do whatever I want. And it's like, no, you don't. You don't. It's very stressful to be an adult. Just enjoy being a kid.
Yeah. Yeah. Try to have fun and try not to think about tomorrow too much. I try to tell the kids that, like, just try to just focus on today. Yeah. Have fun.
Yeah.
Like, you know. Tomorrow brings enough crap. Just worry about what's going on today.
We had a screen-free weekend.
Oh, nice.
For the kids.
Was it a detox?
It was for them. It was for them. And
was this a punishment?
It was a little bit of a punishment, but also Kirk had this thing where he's working on the attic upstairs, and he's kind of finishing it.
Oh, okay.
So that I can store, you know, seasonal things in there. He did a beautiful job, babe, if you're listening. It's absolutely amazing. Thank you so much. But anyways, so he was really focused on that, like, all weekend. They worked so hard. And so he was just like, nope, we're working on this, and we're going to work together. He took the boys. My little girl went with my mom, and I, you know, worked on whatever I was working on. And every time the boys would come in, they'd be like, dude, what the heck are you watching? I binge watched the first season of Dallas.
Really?
Yes.
How funny.
And the clothes, again, I'm just like, wow, look at their clothes. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I love, like, that's one of, and let me tell you something. TV back in the 80s. So simple, these dramas. Mm-hmm. So, like, I can't imagine, like, the dialogue is minimal, right? The clothes and the sets are everything on these shows. Like, it's like eye candy for me.
Yeah.
Eye candy.
Well, it's all about the visual because color was everything, and the color TVs were getting better.
Yeah.
And they don't need all that dialogue.
So funny that you said that, because my youngest son goes, was this like videoed on an old iPhone?
That's amazing.
And I said, no. And he goes, was it shot on a flip phone?
Right. This is like, so old.
But he was so serious because he could see the quality even of the film, right? It's not digital.
Right.
That, and it's not, what is it? Forget what the term is, but it's, you could tell it's a little grainy. It's, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when he said that, I thought it was really funny that he noticed it,
yeah.
First of all, because that's kind of a
little bit of an advanced way of looking at
things. Because I remember, I mean, when you're little and your parents are watching something in black and white, you're like, ugh.
Yeah.
Right.
This is old.
Right. That's kind of what they got, but they got something different. They're just kind of like the clarity of the picture is, it's there. I mean, we can see everything, but it's not smooth and clear.
I remember they had they would do like the marathon of the black and white shows where they would do like Petticoat Junction and Green Acres and all those shows.
Twilight Zone.
And we'd get excited and watch it all together. Yeah. Like the whole family would. It's kind of funny thinking back to that.
Yeah, we tried to get our kids into the Twilight Zone last year during the pandemic and they were like, eh.
Yeah, sometimes they start out a little slow. That's why. Because the Twilight Zone, a lot of times you don't really know what's going on until halfway through, and then it's, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My daughter watched a couple of them with me of the Dallas. She probably shouldn't have, but she goes, okay, now I'm confused. She's 8. And I said, what are you confused about? She goes, he has a girlfriend and he's married?
It's make-believe land.
And I said, yeah. I said, I don't get it either.
That's why he looks stressed out all the time.
That's why his wife's always crying. You will not do this to me again, JR.
Do they still have the soap operas like they used to have? Or has that completely gone away?
I don't know. I don't really watch television like I used to. I love television. I remember at one point when I was studying, the question came up, like, do you want to work in television or do you want to work in film? And right away, most people said film, like, I want to be a movie star. And I was like, no, I want to work in TV. I want to be on a sitcom. Like, that's what I want.
Mm-hmm.
I never in my wildest dreams ever really thought, like, oh, I want to be... I'm talking about, like, it's already happened. Like, I just got my first film.
We got to sit and write a sitcom, because that was always the real true dream of mine was to get a sitcom.
That's what I did. I mean, I came home from school. We watched a little bit of MTV, like, as I got older. But always, like, you come home from school... I did my homework in front of the television.
Yeah, me too.
Which might be a big problem.
Well, only the homework didn't get done, but I did sit with my books in front of the television.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
So I watched a lot of television. I take breaks, go outside, ride my bike. I come back in for Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley. And then I would go back out. And then evenings was Three's Company.
And
whatever else was coming on prime time after that.
Right.
You know? And so... that for me is a big part of American culture, because I grew up in a home with immigrants that came from Peru. So it was very different.
Yeah. What was your favorite sitcom?
I think probably Three's Company was something that we never, ever, ever missed. I mean, we watched it every night, the reruns.
The Regal Beagle.
Yeah, the Regal Beagle. And they do like 3 in a row. So it was like 2 or 3 in a row.
Yeah.
And as far as like the newer shows, it was like Facts of Life was the one that I liked a lot.
Yeah, that one was good. I always had a lesson to it, which is good.
You never, what's funny about those shows is like you didn't mind the reruns. Instead of going, oh man, it's a rerun, we would go, oh, I love this one.
Yeah, there was a study about that, about like people with anxiety, how anxiety is kind of relieved by watching an old sitcom.
Really?
That, that makes you laugh, the familiarity, you know that the plot's not going to get so deep that it's going to stress you out. And so there's like a something to that. Because I watch news radio. I've watched every episode hundreds of times because it's just, it's so comfortable to me.
I don't think I've watched news radio.
We should watch it. You'll love it.
Is it good?
As far as ensemble comedy, obviously
it's good. You're watching it.
Yeah. It just didn't, just the whole, you know, Phil Hartman's situation happened in that. And so it's kind of hard to, it's a little bit hard to watch.
I'll tell you what I couldn't get into until later, until I became actually a mother, was Friends.
Oh, yeah.
I never got into Friends. That was not, I was in college and everyone was like, Friends. And I was like, right? And then, but once I got married and I had babies and I was like up at like all hours of the night nursing, I was always on.
Yeah.
At some point. And so then I kind of got into it. And then now I've probably watched the entire run of Friends probably at least three times. Wow. Where I can go, oh, I remember this one.
See, Friends is something that I don't like watch with enthusiasm, but I can always watch it because I always thought the girls were cute. I always thought that I actually liked Lisa Kudrow best, which I think was rare, but it was because of the personality.
Yeah.
And but you had, and then Matthew Perry's so funny.
I know.
He's so funny. And I mean, I could give or take Schwimmer and the other guy, but you know, but he was, Matthew Perry's so funny.
Yeah.
And Lisa Kudrow's so funny. Yeah. Those two are so funny.
Yeah. I think as an ensemble, that was just perfect.
Yeah.
And the writing is just kind of like, it wasn't done yet. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I think the reason why I was like, I'm good is because it was so trendy that I was like, I don't care.
Yeah.
Right? That's always been, maybe I have a little bit of ODD where I'm just like, oh, is it like super popular? I don't want any of it.
I heard you say that the other night. I have ODD and I thought about it and I was like, you totally do.
Well, no, it was after your set.
Yeah, I know.
And then I said something like, maybe I have ODD.
You said it. Yeah, I think you said it to me over. Yeah, I remember that.
Because that is a little bit of who I am. Like if someone's like, oh, it's so good. I'm like, I'm sure it's not. I don't want anything to do with it.
Yeah.
Nothing can be that good. Okay.
Well, it would be terrible for us to go out on this note, wouldn't it? It'd be so awful. I don't know. I was trying to get your ODD to kick in. I thought you were going to go, let's go right now.
Are you doing reverse psychology on me? It's so bad. No, I bet it's really good. Let me see.
I'm trying to. All right. So what I'm going to do is we're going to run those three things for our shows that are coming up. And then we're going to go out, and then we will be back tomorrow on Big Tom and Roach. It's so awesome to sit with you again.
Love it.
All right.
Glad to be back.
Have a great Monday morning. Join us in Agora Hills on Thursday, March 24th for Laughter Hills Presents Comedy at the Canyon Club. Mark Eddy, the rock and roll comic, headlines a great lineup of comedians. Doors open at 6, shows at 7:30. It's all for a great cause. And remember, nurses get in for free. Go to wheremusicmeetsthesoul.com for tickets. And for more information on how Laughter Heals, visit laughterheals.org. Hey, Ventura, join us Friday, March 18th as Laughstream presents a comedy event like no other at Tony's Pizzeria in downtown Ventura. Join us for a one-of-a-kind comedy pop-up with headliner Lachlan Patterson from Last Comic Standing. Be there Friday, March 18th, doors at 7:30, shows at 8:45, 186 East Thompson Boulevard at Tony's Pizzeria. For ticket information, go to laughstream.tixer.com. Laughstream, comedy that keeps you rolling. Giggles Live presents Women Who Crush Comedy Night with headliner Kat Alvarado in Oxnard on March 30th. Join us at Levity Live in Oxnard at The Collection as we raise money for a cause that's near and dear to me. Project Understanding helps transform lives of people in need in our own community. Let's help them out. Let's get some laughs. For tickets, look for my face at improv.com/Oxnard. And for more information on Project Understanding, visit projectunderstanding.org.
Little Willie Green from New Orleans, a greedy boy was he. He always liked a lot of kids around just to keep him company.
One day his ma bought him a jelly roll, the best cake that was made. And when the kids began to hang around, little Willie said, I ain't gonna give nobody none of this jelly roll. I wouldn't give you a piece of this cake to save your soul. My ma told me today, when she went away, to be a good boy, she bring me a toy. I'm my mama's pride and joy. Ain't no use for you to keep on hanging around. I love you, but I hate the time you die. This jelly roll is sweet, surely hard to beat. I know you want it, but you can't have it, cause I ain't gonna give you none. Jelly roll. I wouldn't give you a piece of this cake to save your soul. My ma told me today, when she went away, to be a good boy, she bring me a toy. I'm my mama's red eye boy. Ain't no use for you to keep on hanging around. I love you, but I hate the time you die. This jelly roll is sweet, surely hard to beat. I know you want it, but you can't have it, 'cause I ain't gonna give you none.